Insight number 4, Enoch's power over the elements and his divine protection. Moses 6, 32 and 34. Some of the most remarkable ancient affinities with the Book of Moses are found within Mandean scripture. In this article, we will explore two examples. 1, Enoch's power over the elements, and 2, Enoch's divine protection. First, a little background on the Mandeans. The Mandeans. Whereas early scholarship looked to the pre-Christian era for the origin of the Mandeans as a distinct community, more recent studies point to their beginnings as a first century Jewish baptismal group somewhere in Palestine or Syria, perhaps in the Jordan Valley. Later, this religious group seems to have become heretical from the Orthodox Jewish point of view and moved northeastwards, eventually settling in today's southern Iraq and southwestern Iran. Tragically, turmoil in the Persian Gulf region has created a growing Mandean diaspora. Out of the over 60,000 Mandeans in Iraq in the early 1990s, only about 5,000 to 7,000 remained there. In light of the scattering and the scarcity of clergy, the very survival of this ancient religious community is in jeopardy. The Mandeans are best known for their high regard for the teachings of John the Baptist, as found in their own scriptures. They are also known for their disdain for the figure of Jesus in the Christian tradition. Latter-day Saints will find particular interest in Mandean teachings and practices pertaining to religious ordinances, including rituals related to baptism and heavenly ascent. Mandean scripture speaks extensively about divine messengers, Uthras, who have been sent to help and teach humankind. In the preeminent position is Mandahiya, knowledge of life, followed by three brothers, sometimes seen as belonging in three different generations, Ebil, Abel, son of Adam, Sitil, Seth, son of Adam, and Enosh, Enosh, son of Seth. In Mandean scripture, these three messengers are sent down from the light world in the beginning to instruct Adam and Eve in the ordinances and in prayer. Though in Jewish and Christian tradition, the biblical figure Enosh is more a transmitter than an author of religious texts and is sometimes seen in a negative light, in Mandean religion, he is seen entirely positively as an important revealer and helper of humankind. For the purposes of this article, it's also important to know that the figure of Enosh is often confused with Enoch in both ancient and modern sources, and that, as a result, the figure of Enosh has been an inadvertent magnet for Enoch traditions in and out of Mandeism. Thus, the examples of ancient affinities between Enoch, as depicted in the Book of Moses, and Enosh literature are usually recognized as deriving from fragments of Enoch rather than Enosh traditions. Enoch's power over the elements. In Moses 6:34, Enoch is promised that the order and calling of the priesthood in which he has been ordained, he will manifest God's power over the elements. Specifically, as he is told that the mountains shall flee before you, and the rivers shall turn from their course, end of quote. This language selectively summarizes the longer and more formal oath given to Enoch that is recorded in the Joseph Smith translation of the Bible in the context of the call of Melchizedek, quote, "For God having sworn unto Enoch and unto his seed with an oath by himself, that everyone being ordained after this order and calling should have power by faith to break mountains, to divide the seas, to dry up waters, to turn them out of their course, to put at defiance the armies of nations, to divide the earth, to break every band, to stand in the presence of God, to do all things according to his will, according to his command. Subdue principalities and powers, and by this the will of the Son of God, which was from before the foundation of the world. And men having this faith, coming up unto this order of God, were translated and taken up into heaven." End of quote. Later in the Book of Moses, we read about a fulfillment of this oath. Quote, "So great was the faith of Enoch, that he spake the word of the Lord, and the earth trembled, and the mountains fled, even according to his command, and the rivers of water were turned out of their course." Enoch's experience in the Book of Moses can be compared to this Enoch account from the Mandean Ginza. Quote, "The supreme life replied, Arise, take thy way to the source of the waters, turn it from its course. At this command, Toriel, indeed, turned the sweet water from its course." We find no account of a river's course being turned by anyone in the Bible. It is thus remarkable that just such an event appears in the pseudepigraphal account in the Book of Moses, and that in both instances, The miraculous feat is found within a story about Enoch. Enoch's divine protection. In Moses 6:32, God provides reassurance to the newly commissioned Enoch by stating, "Go forth and do as I have commanded thee, and no man shall pierce thee." In the account of Enosh, or Enoch, his prophetic call in the Mandaean Genza, a similar promise of divine protection is given while he was on the course of a journey. Confident that he will receive the divine help he needs, Enoch recounts, quote, "When I saw myself surrounded by enemies, I did flee. And since that time, with my eyes fixed on the road, I looked to see if the angel of life would come to my aid. Suddenly, I saw the gates of heaven open." End of quote. After the heavens open, the angel of life appears and speaks to Enosh. Note that Enoch's title of lad found in Moses 6:31 is echoed in the Genza's description of the prophet as little Enosh. Quote, "Little Enosh, fear not. You dread the dangers of this world. I am come to you to deliver you from them. Fear not the wicked, and be not afraid that the floods will rise up on your heads, for their efforts will be vain. It shall not be given them to do any harm to thee." End of quote. Later in the same account, the enemies of Enosh, or Enoch, then lament their inability to harm him and his companions. Then they complain that his eventual escape to heaven with his companions has brought a frustrating end to their attempts. Quote, "In vain we have attempted murder and fire against them. Nothing has been able to overcome them, and now they are sheltered from our blows." Though the phrase, "and now they are sheltered from our blows," does not specifically describe how Enosh, or Enoch, and his companions were protected, the text immediately preceding this passage gives more direct hints that they were sheltered by being taken up to heaven. Quote, "By fleeing and hiding, these men from on high have gone up higher than us. We have never known them. However, now you see that they are covered with glory and splendors that appear to us in all the brightness of their triumph." Support for the idea that Enoch and his companions escaped their enemies through heavenly ascent can be found in the statements of Oya, a leader of the Gibberim in the Book of Giants, an Enoch text found at Qumran. Oya tells of his defeat in a great battle against Enoch and his people, and then, much like Enoch's enemies in the Genza account, he laments that his mortal opponents now, quote, "reside in the heavens and live with the holy ones." This description resembles Moses 7:21, which states that Zion, the city of Enoch, quote, "in the process of time was taken up into heaven." Similarly, Moses 7:69 states, quote, "and Enoch and all his people walked with God, and he dwelt in the midst of Zion. And it came to pass that Zion was not, for God received it up unto his own bosom. And from thence went forth the saying, Zion is fled." This is a poignantly ironic echo of the complaints of Enoch's enemies in the Genza, quote, "by fleeing and hiding, these men have gone up higher than us." The choice of the word fled in Moses 7:21 is apt, connoting an urgent escape and deliberately alluding to events a little earlier in the chapter where both the mountains and Enoch's enemies fled from danger. But as scripture pointedly teaching, it is one thing to escape from danger and another to escape to enduring safety. God had promised that Zion alone would, quote, "dwell in safety forever in his own bosom, blessedly and permanently out of bowshot and earshot of its frustrated enemies on earth."